brothers looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. OnlyFans model breaks up her mom's marriage. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of the off-duty cop whose drunken recklessness results in the death of an innocent civilian in a Manhattan bar. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
We're the Gaffneys this week. The kids are buying their own cars, and I had to sleep in a tent.
Not because I was mad at him or anything.
Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Memorial Day weekend again, and my hometown becomes the center of the world. I'll explain coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. It's 8 minutes past the hour. This is a live radio show. Is there any other live radio show on the air right now? No, there is not. That's the beauty of this show. Is it a good show? No. Is it a high-quality show? No. Is it an intellectual show? No. It is live. That's the crowning benefit. Listening on KMBZ FM in Kansas City, KMOX in St. Louis, WPHT in Philadelphia, giant radio stations coast to coast, and my personal favorite, WLOB, Lobster Radio in Maine. Oh, yes, there's Lobster Radio in Maine, and if they were smart, they would send me like a clip of something they do during the week so we can share it with everybody, because who knew there was lobster radio? That's, no, better idea. Send me lobsters. That's the goal. Send me lobsters and give me enough lobsters to give away to you, my Midnight Misfits. Welcome. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. We're going to have a great time tonight because it's Memorial Day weekend, and you know what that means? Nothing counts. But this is travel therapy. This radio show is travel therapy. Hell at the airports. Busiest day at the airports imaginable. There's a myth, a great myth, among local news editors at television stations who are useless. And the myth is this, that the busiest travel day of the year is the day before Thanksgiving. Not true. Remember, you see them going to a live shot outside your local airport, and the anchor's saying, well, this is the busiest travel day of the year. Look at this. Look at that. Busiest travel. And then they go to the guy, the woman, in front of the airport, and there's nobody there. There are no cars. There's nothing. Because that is not the busiest travel day of the year. The busiest travel day of the year is always a Friday in June. June, the number one vacation month. Plus, you have people going back and forth for business at the end of the week. They merge on Fridays in June. Those are the busiest travel days of the year. That's a pretty good trivia answer. Next time you get drunk with your friends and you have to impress them, tell them that. The best way to impress your friends is tell them what is the slowest day of the year at Disney World. The slowest day of the year at Disney World is not Christmas Eve. It's not Christmas Day. It's not New Year's Day. It's not your birthday. The slowest day of the year at Disney World is Halloween. Halloween, the kid holiday. The kids want to be home on Halloween. That's the busiest, that's the slowest day of the year at Disney World. Isn't this fascinating? But I want to talk to you. What have you encountered as you travel on our nation's highway going across Route 80? I-5 in California, I-4 in Florida, 95 up and down the coast, barely. I-90 deluge going to places horrible like Syracuse and Rochester and Buffalo and, you know, up there where they have solid meat and people wear giant hats. And plus, coming up in just moments, the famous James Copeland returns to Sterling on Sunday, a legend who's now the morning man ready in Coffeyville, Kansas. This is such a giant stepping stone to people working on the show that they go from here to big jobs, mornings in Coffeyville, Kansas. Let me repeat, mornings in Coffeyville, Kansas. Now, if they were clever, they would spell Coffeyville with a K, Coffeyville, Kansas. That would look pretty cool. But no, it's with a C. He's going to share with us his deep secrets when he worked for this show at Dollar Tree. He worked at Dollar Tree one Christmas for this show. And the reason we're going to talk about this is Dollar Tree put out their quarterly report, and it didn't go well. And they're trying all sorts of new wacky pricing schemes on a store called Dollar Tree. Now, what should the wacky pricing scheme be? It should be a dollar. And remember when it was a dollar at Dollar Tree? And then it became $1.25? And now they've implemented all sorts of wacky schemes, crazy schemes. And I'll share that with you, but I need you to share with me. I want to know about your experience at an airport this weekend. I want to know about your experience with road construction this weekend. Any incidents on the road. Scary, scary meetings with people at rest stops. Let's you and I talk. My phone number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Ready? 888. Go ahead, call. 888-688-WALT. Welcome. And thank you, Sean. And thank you, Dave. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Conk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
Yes, I need to hear all that giant production in order for this to work. It's 17 past the hour, driving across the country. I want to know about your challenges driving, RVing, hitting the airports. How bad is it at the airports? There was much speculation that this would be a disaster. And then I have a secret, an amazing secret about air travel that I'll share with you at 36 past the hour, an amazing secret. Now, ladies and gentlemen, James Copeland. James, Morning Man star in Coffeyville, Kansas. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey, Walter. Hey, Walter. Great to be back on the air.
And now you got potted down. Like, I heard you at the beginning of the conversation, and now I don't hear you. What can we do about that, Sean? Can we turn him back up? Like, I heard him, and now I don't hear him. He said it was great to be on, and now I don't hear him. What can we
do? He's not talking.
You're not talking? Are you talking, Sean? James,
here,
are you talking?
Let's try it now.
James is talking?
Hello.
Can you hear me? Walter.
Yeah, what were you doing?
I don't know.
Did you mute?
It's very odd.
Well, now I hear you. And welcome. Now, you live in Coffeyville, Kansas. Where in Kansas is that?
Yeah, so you could throw a rock and hit Oklahoma. We're about an hour north of Tulsa. And it's really wonderful when they do those stand-ups on the Tulsa TV stations, which I watch at four in the morning. They're always miserable. They're standing out in front of an airport talking about how nothing's happening. But they do that every morning, and I just wonder why.
Every year, they send out the lowest-ranked reporter to stand in front of an airport the day before Thanksgiving to announce that it's the busiest travel day of the year. This is a myth that lives in the brains of every assignment editor in American television. It's not true. It's never been true. And then you see them out there in front of the airport the day before Thanksgiving, and there's no one around. They're alone. They're the traffic at the airport. But now we have to talk about this news. Sean, listen to this amazing news. Price increases are the primary factor behind Dollar Tree's strongest quarter on record, first quarter 22. Traffic has been declining in Dollar Tree stores, but the increase in prices are making up for it. The premium price line is now available in about a third of the chain's locations nationwide and will be introduced to even more stores in the rest of the year. These products, and the first ones they did were coolers, knowing their audience, they were added for $3 and $5 at more than 3,500 Dollar Tree stores. And what's interesting is there are far more. There are 34,000 Dollar Trees in America. 34,000, far more than Walmart. However, the news is this. Dollar Tree shares plunge after company misses on earnings, slashing full-year profit outlook. Dollar Tree missed Wall Street's earnings per share estimates shares of the company plunged on early trading. This was earlier this week. Do you know about this premium section of Dollar Trees, James Copeland?
Yeah, in fact, they just rolled this out to our Dollar Tree in Coffeyville. So it's very exciting. They had it roped off for a while. And then we finally got to go in and see it. And it was organized for a while, and now it's just descended into madness, which you kind of might expect. I did buy a tub there, a $3 plastic tub or something. But yeah, I don't know. I was actually involved a little bit when they were starting to roll these out. But I think it just kind of breeds some confusion. Dollar Tree also forgets the fact that they own Family Dollar. Family Dollar has things that are more than a dollar, but they're not asking my opinion on it at the corporate level.
When you worked at Dollar Tree right before Christmas 2 years ago, what was the one thing as an employee that you were never aware of as a customer? What did you learn from that experience?
I would say the fact that there is a Dollar Tree corporate newsletter that is delivered to Dollar Tree stores. And Dollar Tree delivers things to its various stores, you know, like the different banners and the aprons. There are Dollar Tree aprons. So they just throw them into a truck, you know, the distribution truck. And it'll be somewhere randomly inside the truck, and you just kind of have to find it. It's never in the same place. But they also throw, like, the actual magazines in there. And it's, you know, your usual corporate magazines, but I'm just shocked that Dollar Tree goes to the trouble to print an actual corporate magazine.
What sort of news does it cover? What sort of articles are in the Dollar Tree corporate magazine?
It's the same boilerplate, normal things, you know. Dollar Tree corporate headquarters celebrate diversity. And they also show the Dollar Tree executives going into some particular Dollar Tree, and they're keeping their distance from the employees. They don't want to be too close to them, but the Dollar Tree executives visit store or something, the usual garbage, but it's kind of mildly interesting while you're taking your break at two or three in the morning.
Well, now you know they have a new CEO since you were there. He started in the fall, and he came from Dollar General. And what's interesting is the one thing that I believe there are two reasons for the decline in sales. Number one, during the pandemic, when people were laid off, businesses were closed, thousands of convenience stores were shut down, we'd go to Dollar Tree. And now I think that's associated in our minds. Now that the economy's picked up a little, you and I are working again. How you're working, I don't know. But you and I are working again. I don't want to go into a Dollar Tree and remember when I had to go into Dollar Tree. That's number one.
You know, I will say one of my most fond Dollar Tree memories, it was probably, you know, 2 in the morning. And we had an earthquake. In Wichita, Kansas, which is weird. You wouldn't think about an earthquake, but I was sitting on the floor, which the carpet of Dollar Trees, I'm going to tell you, were fantastic because they were great for stocking. You could actually, it was nice on your knees and everything, the new ones. Anyway, I felt the shockwave rumble through from the back of the store to the front. And that was a special moment. But, you know, other than that, I think you're right. That's a good hypothesis about the COVID thing.
The other thing is when I'm desperate for a bargain, when I'm desperate for a $1.25 item and everything else is closed and I'm running out of money because of the pandemic, the other thing is that I did not notice how miserably organized most of those stores are and how it's rough and tumble on most of the shelves. And come Monday morning or Tuesday morning, those shelves are empty. Three quarters of those shelves are empty, except for the very rare exception. There are good Dollar Trees, but they're never near me. Now the corporation is starting to recognize that maybe they need to, like, organize the merchandise better. Then I learned something else in this report, in some real publication, which I never read because, you know, all I read is The Inquirer and BuzzFeed. What publication was this in? I don't know. The other thing that they realize that it was revealed in these articles for Wall Street, they purposely understaff those stores. They purposely understaff them. And as a result, there aren't enough people to manage the stock, to bring in the things from the truck. What did you notice as an employee there about understaffing?
Oh, yeah, you know, we were always understaffed. And honestly, I don't know if it's necessarily purposeful, but you're always kind of scrambling around. I will say, the Dollar Tree I worked at probably had the best manager in the Midwest. He actually, while I was there, was getting promoted to a regional director. They actually have a mentorship program between all the stores. You wouldn't think that would even exist, but they do. But he was mentoring something like a dozen other stores. And we actually had a decent level of staffing. I mostly worked overnight, so we had overnight only about three people. Now, if we had a truck coming in, we'd bring in some extra help, but usually about two or three at night. But during the day, we had a decent level, but I think our store was probably, it was one of the biggest in Wichita, and therefore that's probably why we had more people.
Everything you're saying or I'm saying is repeating in a very dramatic way, which people who are drunk on Memorial Day weekend will think it's them. Ah, now it's stopped. Thank you.
Feedback loop.
Technical terms. Now, James Copeland, who was responsible for much of the success of this show, and by the way, you want to know something shocking, James? This show is actually getting real ratings in many cities, like I had a syndicator call me up the other day, say, you know, you're number one in that time period. I'm like, you're kidding. And then I thought, well, what am I up against? I'm up against the Lutheran Hour. I'm up against the Gold Show. And we're going to start on your station in Coffeyville, Kansas, shortly. What are the call letters of your station again?
Yes, it's the mighty 690 KGGF, which just turned 95 here not too long ago.
Like most of your listeners.
That's right.
How big is the signal for your station?
It covers four states, so it goes all the way up to Past Kansas City, south of Tulsa, almost to Little Rock, and then west to who knows where, Kingdom Come, pretty much most of the state of Kansas. So four states.
Is that because you're right on the border of four states?
Yeah, we are very oddly, we're two 10,000 watt AM stations in Kansas, and there's no 50 kilowatts in Kansas, but the two big stations power-wise are in this corner of the state, and we're the lowest and the highest power, so I guess we win.
You know, you saw the news story that only affected radio people about the threat by Ford and other car manufacturers to yank out AM radio in the car. And my favorite evil theory was, well, they want to get rid of conservative talk show hosts. That's the plan. I'm like, wait a minute. Do you think the CEO of Ford is a progressive Democrat? Is that what you think? I promise you, the CEO of every automotive company is a conservative who wants a conservative running the economy. That would just be my hunch, James.
Right, and my favorite part of that is the fact that they didn't even need any physical components to make the change. They're just, you know, got the code monkeys on it. Oh, look, there's an AM radio now because it's software defined. Anyway, yeah, I mean, that's definitely good. I question that decision in general, but, you know, to take it away, because obviously those people who are trying to take away AM radio have never been to rural northeast Oklahoma where there is no cell coverage.
James! Morning Man in Coffeyville, Kansas. Thank you for sharing time on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Oh, my gosh. It's Memorial Day weekend. You and I are live. That's right. We're live. We're not the Gold Show. We're not the Annuity Show. We're not the Lutheran Church. You and I are live. And I want to talk to you. Please share with me your travel horror stories. They can be inside your car. It doesn't have to be on the highway or at the airport. It could just be the horror you're facing inside your car, trapped for hours with relatives that you vaguely remember that you have, you know, your children. No need to sit on it yourself. You can share with me. And what's that sticky stuff on the seat? Oh, my God. Dr. Dave has weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Pokemon cards. Someone's got arrested. Details later, people at Walmart. Sterling at night. This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. OnlyFans model. Breaks up her mom's marriage. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of the off-duty cop whose drunken recklessness results in the death of an innocent civilian in a Manhattan bar. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
We're the Gaffneys. This week, the kids are buying their own cars, and I had to sleep in a tent.
Not because I was mad at him or anything.
Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Memorial Day weekend again, and my hometown becomes the center of the world. I'll explain coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Firefighter in Ohio, Perkins Township. His name is Chase Green. And he's 27 years old, been arrested and booked on leave from his job as a firefighter for failing to scan three boxes of Pokemon cards, collector cards. And self-checkout is a temptation for us all. These, by the way, the value of these Pokemon cards, $85.94. Erie County's jail filled with a man like this. Memorial Day weekend, which we're celebrating, is about those who have given the ultimate sacrifice to our country. In war, usually. But again, we honor those who are firefighters who lose their lives on the job. Police officers that we lose on the job. Chase Green will be celebrating this Memorial Day, apparently in the lockup. He is being paid, thank God. And perhaps he can pay for those Pokemon cards with the savings he'll be making on three hots and a cot live from the jail. Self-checkout creates all sorts of problems for really good people. Don't be a victim. Stand up. Pay for everything. Be a good idea. For the people of Walmart, this is Vila Hool for Sterling at Night.
Oh, my God. Can you believe I'm live on a Memorial Day weekend? There's no one else working. Sean and I are the only people in American radio who are working. Dave Scalish came away from his... Did you just sniffle into that microphone?
Yes, I did.
What are you doing? This is a professional radio show. Now, listen. This is Katie McMiniman. And Katie McMiniman is one of the pixies that I have been telling you about. Remember, the problem with most organizing systems is what?
That it's not done for your personality type.
What does that mean?
It means that half of the world organizes the way everyone knows, thinks they know they should organize, you know, with files and filing cabinets and putting everything away into little boxes and Marie Kondo and love everything that's in your sight at all times. But the rest of us have no clue how to make that happen. And all we end up with is everything's in boxes and we don't know where it is. And so we find a way to make organizing work for everyone.
Who's we?
The Pixies.
What's the name of the company?
Pixies Did It.
And what's the name of the website?
PixiesDidIt.com.
When I go to the website, what will I find?
You will find out how to take your personality assessment and find out what kind of organizer you are.
You create custom organizing systems.
Yes.
Based on what?
Myers-Briggs.
Based on what's that mean?
Well, if you haven't heard of Myers-Briggs, then don't worry about it. Just go to our website and take the quiz, and you'll find out what kind you are. And if it makes sense to you, then great. If not, look at the other organizing types and see if that sounds more like you.
No, you don't have to unsell yourself.
I'm not unselling myself. I'm just saying if you don't like Myers-Briggs or whatever, just go to the site and see.
No one has any opinions on Myers-Briggs.
All right.
You go to the site.
Yes.
And you take a survey about you.
Yes.
Asks you about your personality traits, your likes, dislikes, and the result is an organizing system made just for you. Now, how much does it cost to take that survey online?
It's absolutely free.
Absolutely free.
Completely free.
Now, the great thing is tomorrow is Memorial Day. You have nothing to do. You have nothing planned. And therefore, you've got, you know, 25, 30 minutes to take this survey at Pixies Did It. Pixies Did It. And the result will be a custom organizing system made for you. And the benefit of that is that other organizing systems, what's that strange lady who always writes those books? What's
Marie Kondo.
Yeah, very, very strange woman. But she makes systems for her. This will result in a system for you. The problem with other organizing systems, or even if you hire an organizer to come in with all of that crap from the container store, even if you hire somebody, 10 days later, it's a mess because it wasn't made for you. What's the website again?
PixiesDidIt.com.
It's radio. Nobody can write anything down. They're in the car. What's the name of the website?
PixiesDidIt.com or Organize Your Way.
Organize Your Way. The great thing when you're looking around your apartment or your house is you keep your house clean. You keep your apartment clean. You keep it organized except for that one room, that one corner that haunts us. It has boxes from when you moved in 8 years ago. It has linens from when you and I graduated from college, you know, in my case, 4 years ago. Maybe yours was 3 or 4 years ago. Isn't it time this week? You promised yourself you were going to fix it this weekend. You promised yourself. Well, now here's a way to do it that you know will last. What's the name of the website?
Pixies Did It, and the book is Organize Your Way.
Oh, no, don't go to the book. What's the name of the website?
Why not go to the book?
Because that information is available on the website. So if you funnel every listener into one place, this could work.
But this would make it simpler. They can
and
just...
then you can pay for college. You got to funnel them. You have to trust the master of radio. Funnel into one place, pixiesdidit.com. I'm Walter M. Sterling. That's Katie McMiniman. And this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
Summertime, let's hit the road.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
And as you travel, you'll look for roadside attractions to entertain the kids. There's Stuckey's and Bucky's for snacks, Cadillacs sticking out of the ground in Amarillo, Texas, and the Space Acorn in Kecksburg, PA. PA is what Pennsylvanians call the state. Pennsylvania's kind of hard to spell, all those letters. If you want weird, though, you'll find it in PA. Kecksburg is a small town in the southwestern part of the state. Across from the fire station is a replica of an object that witnesses say fell from the sky. They call it the Space Acorn due to its shape. Locals say the original arrived as a fireball in 1965. They say it was a UFO. We may never know because federal agents quickly whisked it away. Makes a great story, though. A UFO festival is held there every year. Not entertaining enough? Well, there's an Ark in Kentucky. The kids would prefer those gooey things at Stuckey's, though. Me too. Just don't get the seat sticky. Happy motoring. Alan First, News 98.1, KMBZ.
All right, it's therapy time. I want to talk with you about your travel experiences this weekend. Supposedly a disaster at the airports. Disaster. And I've got something to reveal to you about the new website to help you and I travel at airports. You won't believe what I discovered. It's truly one of the great mysteries of our time is how anybody could think this was of service. And then trouble in the car. Now, travel trouble can be a result of just being in the car with people that you are related to for a very long period of time. I am aware of that problem. I have trouble with people I'm related to, like in the house. I don't need to get in a car. It's always a problem. Please call 888-688-WALT. You get to share your frustrations with America. Isn't that a great service? 888-688-WALT. Keith Fons, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Keith, hello.
Hello.
Keith is a DoorDash driver in Fairbanks, North Pole, Alaska. I have always had a question about Alaska relative to national holidays. Keith, do you feel any affinity for the lower 48 on these national holidays? Do you feel you're part of America from Alaska with Canada in between us?
Definitely. Here we have 9 different military bases here, and there's only about less than 800,000 citizens in the whole state. And everybody that you come across here is very patriotic when it comes to our country. You know, but we do feel secluded, but at the same time, that's a good thing.
Now I can't hear you. What's that about?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Now I can't hear you.
Did you hear?
What are you doing? Are you fooling around with the phone?
Nope. Okay, I am sitting here on my phone like normal.
All right, well, keep talking.
Keep going.
But, yeah, being here in Alaska, you know, we are secluded from the lower 48. It's kind of bad when it comes to prices of things, but at the same time, we kind of take comfort being secluded from the lower 48 and a lot of the drama and stuff you guys deal with down there.
Well, what is the advantage of being cut off from? What are the things that you don't want to know about?
Well, the good thing about being secluded is there's a lot of places here in Alaska that doesn't get a lot of the foot traffic, the car traffic, so you get really beautiful views and the nature and the woods out here untouched by pretty much man. And there's a lot of places you can't drive. You have to take a snowmobile or ATV, so it's not like the lower 48 where you have big metropolitan cities and everybody's trampling all over and you don't get the sights that we get.
Keith Fons. F-O-N-S. Keith Fons on Facebook. You got to go look at Keith Fons' Facebook page because you'll see his latest postings show him and distant relatives camping. Now, I have to say, Keith, that looks sort of like desperate camping. You're in sort of a shrub area, nothing beautiful. I don't see any beauty. All the relatives you're with, who I think are all women, don't want to be there. Is that about right, Keith?
Well, the pictures I posted, it was around like the fire, but we stayed at a nice log cabin there. And there was at the hot springs here, surrounded like basically by the mountain.
Which mountain?
And I'm hello.
Yeah, which mountain?
The mountain there. I'm not sure exactly the name of it, but it's at Chena Hot Springs, and it's right, basically the valley of the mountain.
Yeah. Well, you see, Keith. When I go camping, I want room service. Now, you didn't show any pictures of the cabin. You just showed people in a desolate situation. You dragged women out there who clearly don't want to be there. They clearly want room service. Why would you do that to them, Keith?
Well, you know, we like to go out. It's our favorite cabin out there. We like to go out there because the phones don't work, the internet doesn't work, the kids can't use their tablets.
Exactly like on this show. Exactly like on this show. The phones don't work, the internet doesn't work. So we're twins. We are twins.
Yep, just thousands of miles apart.
There you go. Is there a great sense in Alaska of patriotism? Do you feel a part of the United States on Memorial Day weekend? Do you?
I do. And I am very patriotic. Every vehicle I have has a flag on it. Like my Jeep has a 5-foot flag on the back of it. I fly my American flag 365 days of the year.
Keith Fons, thank you very much. Keith Fons is in Alaska. And I'm always curious about the relationship in the heads of Alaskans between Alaska and the lower 48. And Keith Fons solves these mysteries for you and me on Sterling on Sunday. Good to be with you. Coming up tonight, we have many mysteries to solve. Plus, we have ready. We've got a brand new feature, Stupid Studs in Space with Jockstraps. For years, we've had lesbians in space who wear sports bras. Tonight, we will reveal a brand new feature, Stupid Studs in Space with Jockstraps. Now, quickly, go over in your mind all the other radio shows that you know of. Anything like that? More importantly, my engine light has been on for most of my life. Check engine light. You have told me that the primary reason for that is a broken gas cap. Okay. Then I have another car, a Kia. And I go and I check the Kia to see if there's a broken gas cap. And it's one of those gas tanks where you just slam the lid. There is no gas cap. How does that work? What do I look for now? Now that I've got a Kia that you just slam the gas tank, you don't twist an annoying cap. How do I check if that's the primary cause of the engine light going on? And the other big question at this time of year for this three-day holiday, how do I keep hamburger meat from falling into the charcoals on my grill? Because odds are they're going to fall into the grill. And the last thing I need your advice on, I thought, well, you know, I'll make red, white, and blue Jell-O. Won't that be fun for the kids? We'll make red, white, and blue Jell-O for Memorial Day. And then I'm like, how do I make the white? How do I make the white? These are epic questions. My phone number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT, live on a Sunday night. And I look forward to talking to you, Sterling, on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. As we pause to remember the many who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our great nation, we can rejoice in a great Memorial Day weather forecast across the Mississippi Valley, Great Lakes to the northeast, with clear skies and pleasant temperatures. New England will cool off back down a bit into the 70s, but otherwise great barbecue weather down south. It's a different story. With a pesky low-pressure system, which could have become a tropical storm. It's off the north and South Carolina coast. It has become a tad weaker, but it will still cause rainy conditions over the eastern Gulf Coast, along with gusty winds, high surf, and dangerous rip currents out in the ocean all the way up to the Jersey Shore. So careful, all you beachgoers. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour. Only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Only fans model. Breaks up her mom's marriage. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of the off-duty cop whose drunken recklessness results in the death of an innocent civilian in a Manhattan bar. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
We're the Gaffneys. This week, the kids are buying their own cars, and I had to sleep in a tent.
Not because I was mad at him or anything.
Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Memorial Day weekend again, and my hometown becomes the center of the world. I'll explain coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Stupid studs in space with jock straps.
Okay, at some point you knew we had to cover this. Scrotox. The popularity is increasing again. Now, if you think this is ridiculous, Botox for the scrotum. The scrotum surrounds the testicles of the male. If you think it's ridiculous, give me a thumbs up. If you like it and you think it's important, a thumbs down. The reason I'm asking is because women surveyed typically say they don't care, but the men do.
That needs to have a tag. It needs to have a bed. I laid out these instructions for our production team very clearly. It's supposed to have an open and then a bed under it and then a tag. All scripted. Easy to use. Stephen in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I understand you're going to solve one of the big mysteries for me.
Hello?
Hello?
Tony, listen, forgive me. I have too many, too many normal names that I have to deal with. Tony, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You're going to solve a mystery for me.
Sure. First of all, I love your show. It's awesome.
Now, you have to lay it out why, so that I can take this recording and play it for program directors across America who have no sense of humor. Why?
I like the humor of your show. I like the topics you talk about, some of the odd things. That's my type of humor.
You're the best. Thank you very much. How do we solve the big Jell-O problem?
Yes, sir. Well, my wife made it for a family party today. She does it every year. So, in a separate bowl, you get sweetened condensed milk, one cup of boiling water, sprinkle two envelopes of unflavored gelatin, over a half a cup of cold water. You let it stand for a few minutes, and then you add a half a cup of boiling water, which dissolves the gelatin. Add to the milk mixture and stir to combine. Cool to room temperature. Then you pour this milk mixture over the first layer of the red Jell-O and refrigerate for 30 minutes. And you will have your white layer gelatin.
This is one of the great mysteries, especially to us urban dwellers who do not have the Betty Crocker cookbook. How do I make red, white, and blue Jell-O? And if you're from Manhattan or from Los Angeles or even parts of Chicago, you have no idea. I had no idea how to make the white Jell-O for red, white, and blue molds. Tony, this has been a revelation. Do you have something else to share?
That's it. You'll have your red, white, and blue gelatin.
I appreciate the call, Tony. I appreciate the call. The other two mysteries, thank you very much. The other two mysteries I'm working on tonight is, number one, what do you do if you don't have a gas cap, but the engine light goes on? Because the primary reason for the engine light to go on is a busted gas cap. But if you have one of those doors to the gas tank where you just slam it shut, how does that affect the engine light? And the other thing is that so many of us are forced to barbecue against our will. It seems to me that a lot of families think dad should barbecue, that dad enjoys it. Dad does not enjoy it. And one of the reasons dad doesn't enjoy it is the fact that the meat keeps falling into the grill. Ground beef, hamburger, keeps falling into the grill. How do I prevent it from falling into the grill?
In the meantime, we are going to work on the white layer, the second layer. Okay, so let's get working on that. Okay, we're going to start with the next step. We're going to take a little bowl, and we are going to add two envelopes of the Knox unflavored gelatin. And we are going to sprinkle some water. We're just going to break it up, and then we're going to let it sit for a minute so that it can hydrate. Okay, in the next step, we're going to take our sweetened condensed milk, pour it into a bowl, and we are going to mix it with one cup of boiling water. Once you have that incorporated, okay, we're going to take some boiling water and add it to the gelatin so that it can loosen it up. And we're going to mix this together.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, the most patriotic dish possible, red, white, and blue Jell-O. Thanks to Tony in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now we have an official YouTube cook explaining how to get the white into the white Jell-O. Is there another radio show in America that even comes close to this? No. Not another radio show in America. Those are my mysteries. How do I deal with the gas cap that doesn't exist? You just slam the door. Because the primary way that there's a check engine light in most cars is there's a chip, a broken gas cap. What about when you just slam the door? And the other mystery, which is, How do I solve the problem of making a hamburger, a cheeseburger on an outdoor grill and preventing the meat from falling into the charcoal, which is always a problem for me? You ready? Phone number 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. Why is it WALT? Because my name is Walter M. Sterling. And this is Live Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down!
Sociologists often say that one of the great problems with a blended family or a remarriage is that generally the stepdad has an attraction to the daughter of the new wife, especially if that daughter is, you know, blooming and all. So it's not a surprise that this has occurred in Australia, but this could be happening in Philadelphia, and this could even be happening in Boca Raton. Awkward moment for this OnlyFans model when she realized her biggest fan in the entire world was whom? Stepdad. Stepdad apparently was paying for every moment of access to seeing his stepdaughter do what she do on OnlyFans, which essentially is stripping in the comfort of her own home, in the comfort of your own home. Nobody needs to go anywhere. It's hands off. Yeah. Hands off experience. She finds out stepdad is the number one thing. She decides to tell her mom. Yeah, the marriage is broken up. Now realize that this has been her stepfather since she was 11, and now she's in her 20s. So it's a tad bit creepy. But again, that's how it works sociology-wise. Stepdad had spent almost $2,000 in Australian money to see his stepdaughter. Not creepy at all. Oh, happy Memorial Day. From the Champagne Room, this is Strippers on the Loose. I'm Velo Houle, Sterling at Night.
888-688-WALT, 21 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling going across the country on I-80, 95, and Highway 36, which runs east to St. Joe. I am so happy to be on KFEQ, KFEQ in St. Joseph. Welcome. KFEQ. What's the power on that radio station? They're at AM 680 KFEQ. No, really. A bunch of whack jobs at General Motors and Ford and Tesla were all threatening to remove AM stations from the cars. Now, you didn't know about that because you don't care. And because many of the stations that I have the privilege of being on, like KMBZ FM in Kansas City, are FM stations. But AM has fewer and fewer listeners. It's not a dying medium in many cities. The number one radio station is an AM station. The most listened to radio station in New York City is an AM station. Most number of people. And that's true in many cities across the country. So For some reason, a bunch of car makers told this lie, which is, well, you know, if we make electronic cars, AM will be interfered with by the big battery. The big battery in these cars will interfere with AM reception. In 1920, listen to this story. In 1920, two guys decided that they wanted to take their girlfriends to the lookout point in their city. Beautiful view, gorgeous night, like tonight. And there they were with their girlfriends, looking out over the city. And one of them said to the girlfriend, "Isn't this great? Don't you love being up here?" And the girlfriend said, "Well, it would be a lot nicer if there was music." And the two guys, who were tinkerers, but pretty much failed inventors. One of them owned a battery company that had gone bankrupt. But they were smart and tinkerers and broke, which is always a good combination for an entrepreneur. The best combination for an entrepreneur is to be broke. And they thought, well, how can we fix this? How can we invent a radio to go in a car? Radios existed. They were progressively popular, but there weren't any in cars. This was 1920. They went to work. They invented the first radio to go in a car, but there were problems. Here were the problems. It was huge. It required so much power, it could not run off a car battery. Therefore, the radios needed their own battery, which was so big they had to put it under the front seats. The antenna wasn't just a simple, nice aluminum stick on the hood. It was netting over the entire top of the car. Now imagine this. In order to get a car radio, you had to put a giant battery underneath your seat and netting on the top of the car, on the roof of the car. Unbelievable. That was the least of it. Every time they installed one, the static was crazy. Why? Because the battery, the starter, the alternator, the lights, all of it generated static that was picked up by the radio. In 1920, they traced every source of static and solved the problem, grounded it, rewired it, whatever they had to do in 1920. No interest. They drove the car with the AM radio, a Studebaker, to a local banker and said, we need financing for this. We think this is a good idea. The banker said, well, that is a good idea. Let me have your car for a day. So the first car radio in a Studebaker was lent to the local banker for a night. He drove it around. He thought, well, this is pretty good. And then he pulled it into his garage and he left it there overnight and it caught fire and set his garage on fire. You won't believe this. They didn't get a loan. But they were determined. One of these inventors drove the car 800 miles to a radio manufacturer convention. He sat outside with the car, played the radio very loud, and as people came in and out of the radio manufacturer convention, he got enough orders for the radio to keep going. But that wasn't the end of the trouble. Many local communities did not want a radio in the car. They felt it was dangerous. It was too much of a distraction for the driver. And one of the arguments, which I love because it's true, one of the arguments was, well, you know, a lot of programming on the radio could put a driver to sleep, and that is still true. Then the Association of Radio Manufacturers of America got together and said, no, there's nothing wrong with these radios. These radios work. And in fact, it is our belief that a lot of programming on the radio will keep drivers alert and awake. Besides, it'll provide traffic information, weather information, road closures. This would be a great service. Ultimately, all the people trying to get radios out of the car went away, even though a majority of Americans at that time, 1920, did not want radios in the car, really. In about 1922, Chevrolet figured out a way to have a reasonably priced car radio for like about $60 into a $3,000 car. The original ones were $600 into a $3,000 car. And that's what happened. Chevrolet put them in 1922. And until now, there were no technology problems. All of a sudden, we have cars that can park themselves. All of a sudden, we have cars that can park themselves. But, oh, gee, we don't know how to put an AM radio in there. Oh, my gosh. Very quickly, when the auto manufacturers saw a tsunami of radio station owners, attacking them. They went, whoa, it's okay. You can have the AM radio in the car. Because you see, automobile manufacturers are used to having a honeymoon relationship with the American radio industry because car manufacturers and local car dealers are major advertisers. And therefore, we kiss butt all the time. To auto manufacturers. Never had they experienced in 100 years the radio industry hating them. Just the possibility that AM radios would be taken out of the car. Well, Very quickly, Ford relented and said, no, no, we're going to keep it in the car. It's okay. Calm down. One of the wacky arguments was that one of the reasons they wanted to remove it from the cars was because of AM radio conservative talk show hosts. They wanted to get rid of AM radio conservative talk show hosts. Now, let's stop a second. Do you think Ford, Chevrolet, General Motors, Chrysler, or Tesla, do you think those CEOs are progressive Democrats? No. No. Those are conservative Republicans who want to maintain a conservatively run economy which can only benefit their cars. This is the longest I've ever talked about radio. I never will talk about radio again because we can have news out of Walmart, studs in space, lesbians in space, far more important information. And I want to talk to you. I have three questions. You don't have to answer them all. Just one will do. How's the travel this year? How's it going in the car? Any trouble with the kids? Airports, road closures, I want to know about them, seriously. And then let's talk about how do I keep the hamburger meat from falling into the charcoals through the grill? And the major reason your check engine light goes on is because there's a chip in the gas tank cap. But what happens if I have just a slam the door gas tank? How does that play with the check engine light? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, live across America. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get Shales negotiating on the wire.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of the off-duty cop whose drunken recklessness results in the death of an innocent civilian in a Manhattan bar. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
We're the Gaffneys. This week, the kids are buying their own cars, and I had to sleep in a tent.
Not because I was mad at him or anything.
Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Memorial Day weekend again, and my hometown becomes the center of the world. I'll explain coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Hi. It's Sterling on Sunday on KFBK in Sacramento. We're going up and down the 5, the 101. Welcome. I want to know about the challenges that you have had traveling this weekend. Now, they can be external challenges. Road construction that shouldn't be there. Airport construction that shouldn't be there, or internal challenges, having to deal with your relatives in the car for a very long period of time. That is easily the greatest challenge. And my phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Last week, I said, women, what is the hardest thing about being a woman today? What is the biggest challenge? In my opinion, it's easy to be a woman today. Every law, every society norm, all of it is in favor of a woman. All of it. God help me if I were to say to you at work, gee, you look great today. Oh, my God, I'd be dragged in front of HR. I'd have to do diversity training. I'd have to do inappropriateness training. I'd have to do shut your mouth training. Oh, my God. But if a woman says to me, hey, you look great today, Walter, I have no recourse. There's nothing I can do except say, thank you. I appreciate you noticing. I don't understand how a woman who wants to be and should be the chairman of the board would have any trouble with me saying, hey, you look great today. I don't understand that. When I started taking your call, what you said to me was many interesting things about why it's difficult to be a woman today. I respect them all. I have three daughters. Whatever they tell me, I do, except when it involves the Apple Store. Well, one of you called and said the toughest thing I have to deal with today is my data safe? And I'm like, that's like a magazine article. And she was very emphatic. I don't feel safe online. I don't know what's happening with information I put in. I don't like websites where they ask for the last four of my social or a password or the password to my mail. And I especially don't like banking websites. I especially don't like websites that I have to interact with my bank. I'm nervous about transactions, ACH transactions. She said, these things make me nervous. And that leads me to vulnerability. I don't know who has my address. I don't know who knows I'm single. I don't know if my kids are safe. I have no idea what happens with all the information I share online. And I thought, well, let me try to get someone who would know. Let me share with you a true expert. And coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to hear from a vice president at IBM. Now, IBM is a real computer company. It was the first computer company. And she shares with us, hopefully she'll share with us exactly why data is safe in the cloud. And I'm like, what do you mean the cloud? And you and I will find out what the cloud is. Oh, you think you know? Yeah, good for you, because I don't know what the cloud is. And then I want to share my impressions of this amazing congressperson or senator who said, yeah, people who are getting help from the government should not be forced to work or should not have to show they're trying to get work. I'm like, what? All right, all of that and you in just seconds, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
All right, it's Sterling on Sunday. Brianna Frank is IBM's vice president of product and design. That's right. It's a grown-up job. Brianna is a grown-up. Last week on Sterling on Sunday, I asked you, you're a woman. What is the worst thing about being a woman today? And most of you gave answers like, well, it cost me more to get my blouse dry cleaned at the dry cleaner than my husband's shirt to get dry cleaned at the dry cleaner. But one of you called and said, the biggest problem for me as a woman today is I am afraid to go on the internet. I don't know where it goes. And I'm worried for my, and she said this, my personal safety. If I give it out information that says I'm single and here's my address, I'm afraid about where that goes. Brianna Frank, IBM's vice president of product and design for the IBM cloud. It is a pleasure to speak to you. It is an honor to speak to you, especially because you are notorious. Let's talk about what IBM is doing to secure our information, our financial transactions in the cloud. Oh, Brianna, what the heck is the cloud?
So what is the cloud? I think that's a great question, a great starting point. I kind of jokingly say that the cloud is borrowing someone else's computer. Why would you want to do that? And the answer is, it's actually a lot of work to run a computer. And if you're really impatient, which I think most of us are, and you just want to build and innovate and make new things, you don't want to have to do all that. You want to borrow someone else's computer and just go and start inventing. And that's really the premise of cloud and the opportunity it provides.
The Treasury Department just did this big study about security in the cloud that you just described, transactions going through the cloud. What was the number one conclusion of that study, Brianna? Because I know it impacts IBM's work.
This is a space that we've really been focused on for quite some time. We are maniacally focused on keeping transactions safe and secure. And one of the things that came out of the report is this concept of concentration risk, meaning if you have all of your applications in one area, it poses a risk. And that's really interesting to us because, you know, at IBM, we believe of hybrid cloud or multi-cloud, meaning using lots of different clouds or running your applications in lots of different places is actually the best policy for many different reasons, for efficiency, for latency, but also for security. And so we were really interested in that part because this is something we've said for a long time, this concept of keeping transactions safe and making sure that we're allowing companies to innovate, to modernize, yet without compromising their security. So when you're building applications and you're inventing on the IBM cloud, those security controls are built in, so you don't have to think about them.
Brianna Frank, Vice President of Product and Design for the IBM Cloud. Brianna is a grown-up. She has a real job, not like you and me, and she's an expert on cybersecurity, especially cybersecurity that goes up from my computer into some mysterious place called the cloud. It seems to me that in order for a company like IBM, the original computer company, you keep mentioning about the IBM cloud. And as a consumer, I'm like, okay, that sounds where I want my data to go. That sounds like a place for my data to be safe. How do I get to the IBM cloud?
Well, to learn more, you can go to ibm.com/cloud. But, you know, we work with 48 of the 50 top global banks. And so chances are, if you're transacting using a financial institution, that IBM is involved in some way. Our job is to make sure that our users have the peace of mind and they hopefully don't have to think about security because it's baked in and we've taken the guesswork out of it.
When I go online as a consumer, what are some of the things I should watch for on any website that should make me nervous?
I personally really pay very close attention when I'm downloading a new app and the kinds of questions that they ask in terms of the level of data that I'm going to hand over. And it's okay to do a little bit of detective work and see if what you're downloading is reputable before you actually do download and before you start giving away your information. I think that's really important. Hopefully, if IBM and regulation can evolve, if we can do our part, The governance will increase and the consumers won't have to work it so hard to protect their data.
As a result of the report by the Department of the Treasury on cybersecurity in the cloud, do you anticipate new laws and what would they be?
I don't know exactly what the laws would be. However, as more and more security threats occur, the laws will have to evolve and change. And the level of governance is going to have to change with the threats. And the threats are more creative and we have to stay ahead of it.
Brianna Frank, Vice President of Product and Design at IBM and specializing in the cloud. You mentioned something that caught my ear just now, which is that the threats are becoming more creative. When you say the word creative to me or to you, I'm like, whoa, how are these people being more creative? Can you give me an example?
The kinds of security breaches that we've seen, especially you can kind of Google them rub search them. It could be as creative as just, you know, one mistake. You know, there could be a developer that left one security configuration or had one misconfiguration, and then a hacker could exploit that. And one of the things we work really hard to do is we have something called Security and Compliance Center, which has a dashboard that allows you to see as a developer every application and workload that you have on any location. And you can see if you've misconfigured something or if there's an application that needs a patch, a security patch. And you can see if those vulnerabilities exist.
I notice things on a web page. You mentioned if they make one little mistake, I'll notice something on a web page, for example, that they did not update the copyright year or that they have a misspelling in the fine print, which would never happen with a real company. There are things to look for just on the web page to go, wait, this looks exactly like a real web page of a real company. I know, but the real company wouldn't get their copyright date law. They wouldn't get that wrong. They wouldn't misspell these words. They wouldn't have the wrong zip code. Those are some of the things I look for, because those are the mistakes somebody who does not live in our country are going to make when they try to copy our web pages. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it's really a smart observation is to make sure that when you're responding to an email or an inquiry that you're looking at what is the URL, what's the email address or what is the URL and does that URL make sense? And are they trying to kind of assume that you're going to trust a URL? It's close, but it's not quite the same. And sometimes it's good to just go check that yourself instead of clicking on the link and see if they actually align.
That's a really good point. Whenever I get an email that I'm suspicious of, I always do the pull down and look at the whole email address. And if it's things like wackywebsites.com, I always look at the name to make sure it matches the company. And that's always the dead giveaway because it never matches the company. You are a great guest. So I have to ask you one more question, Brianna Frank, Vice President of Product Design for IBM's Cloud, which is this. You've been an executive at IBM for a while, and it sounds to me like you truly enjoy your job. Would you please describe your day? Because I don't work at IBM. I can't even imagine what it's like to sit up straight at my desk all day. Tell me about your day.
It's a lot of task switching. So it's great if you get bored easily because you'll never have a boring day. There's never 2 days that are the same. But I, at my core, what really energizes me is solving problems. And so whether it's talking to a client or even someone internally, problems are going to arise, and then like, how do we creatively solve them? But what's interesting is that there's never two of the same problems. They're always different.
Now, if I run a small business and I want to get in touch and get support and help, and I want that IBM dashboard for the cloud, tell me exactly what I need to do as a small business to get in touch with your business. And is it going to break my bank?
IBM.com/cloud. And no, actually, you know, the security is baked in. That's the thing that we feel so strongly about. And so typically IBM, we're known for solving the world's hardest problems, but we also cater to smaller businesses who don't want to have to think about security. They just want to invent. And if we can take the guesswork out of security and take that burden away from them so they can just go build something really interesting, then that's very fulfilling to us.
IBM.com/cloud. IBM.com/cloud to find out how you and I can enjoy the security of a real computer company, not some wacky computer company with people who order in lunch and go to the gym and drink out of water bottles and wear all black all day. This has been so helpful. Brianna Frank, Vice President of Product and Design for IBM Cloud, thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Based on the amount of texts that I've gotten on this topic, I promise you at 06 past the next hour, in the third hour of Sterling on Sunday, you will hear a Florida story. Please don't harass me anymore about your need for Florida stories. It's inappropriate. Inappropriate. And then coming up, we're going to hear from David Scott. David Scott is a man who says that in his past, he has been able to navigate UFOs with his mind. While sober, he's been able to navigate UFOs with his mind. Yes, of course, there are many late night shows that deal with UFOs and metaphysics and time travel, but no one else has it down to 6 minutes. No one else has the big news of UFO land down to 6 minutes as well as I do, because this is a powerful live network show. It is Memorial Day weekend. It is a 3-day weekend. And to me, this is the greatest hell, because what do I do with the third day? I'm supposed to look busy on Monday. What am I supposed to do? This is the hardest holiday for me. Not Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. No, those are easy because I can go anywhere and participate. I could go to a department store and participate in those. These holidays are the ones that you and I have to be invited in. I can't just go to your backyard and go to a barbecue. I can't go to your swim club and go through that gate that's always locked. I can't just hit the good clay tennis courts for the heck of it. I have to be invited in. These are the invited in holidays, and God help you if you are a single man and you go to a beach alone. There's nothing creepier than a single man going to a beach alone. All of this and you. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of the off-duty cop whose drunken recklessness results in the death of an innocent civilian in a Manhattan bar. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
We're the Gaffneys. This week, the kids are buying their own cars, and I had to sleep in a tent.
Not because I was mad at him or anything.
Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Memorial Day weekend again, and my hometown becomes the center of the world. I'll explain coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida Story, we're going to Brandon, Florida. 57-year-old Florida man is a street sweeper. He has those big machines that kind of look like a Zamboni for a parking lot. And so he's doing this little pattern going up and down the rows of a supermarket parking lot. And at one point, he has to go out into the street, do a U-turn, and come back in. And just for that brief little moment that he is out of the shelter of the parking lot itself, this is at 11:30. So there's not a whole lot of traffic. But another Florida man, 43 years old, comes flying down the road in a 2016 Corvette. Doesn't have time to react to miss the big street sweeper Zamboni looking thing, but he manages to turn the wheel enough that he just clips it really hard and flies off. The driver of the street sweeper gets projected forward through the windshield. He lands in front of the street sweeper, which then runs him over and shreds him into a bajillion pieces. So we end up with this incredible headline. Florida man dies after being run over by street sweeper he drove.
Wait. Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to San Carlos Park, where a fourth grader is defending his title from last year's science fair. Yeah, he won third grade. Now he's going to go in fourth grade. So what'd he do? He took a giant globe from his dad, cut it in half, line the inside with foil, and he's making a solar oven. So he has to suspend like a little muffin cup out there, and he's going to use the power of sunlight to do some baking. So he leaves it out in the front yard. He goes in between pictures because, you know, he's doing like a little time-lapse thing, and two thieves come up. They're in a car. They grab the globe, the solar oven, throw it in the back of their truck, and drive off. Have you ever even heard of a stolen science project before? Cops say they face 30 days in jail, followed by 2 weeks of detention. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to West Palm Beach. A woman got an alert on her doorbell camera right after 6 in the morning. So she goes and checks it, and it looks like there's a naked dude that just ran past her front door. That's weird. Next day, another naked man. So now, fast forward for 2 straight months, almost every day from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., at some point, this naked dude runs past her front door. She has alerted property management. She lives in like a condo community. And so they put the word out. They have some sort of Facebook group or email chain or something. Hey, check all your doorbell cameras. And they can see on other doorbell cameras, this is the same naked guy that's been jogging for the last 2 months. No one has seen him with their own eyes, but he's been caught on several doorbell cameras. And look, you know what his route is then. If you want to get in touch with this guy, if you want to give him a message, can't you just put out a sign? Like the realtors leave a sign in front of the house. Just be like, hey, naked man, could you put on some drawers, maybe? Maybe a shirt. Or here's a better idea. Why don't you get everyone in the condo community to pitch in, and maybe I'll get him a treadmill.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
One of the great things about having Dave Scott on Sterling on Sunday is that he is a professional broadcaster. We are having a special challenge with our brand new broadcast software. All brand new software on any radio station is always, what's the technical term? A disaster. Whenever I go to the phones, there's this annoying echo. Don't worry about it. Dave Scott's going to share with us his UFO update. This is a man who managed to move UFOs around with his mind, don't ask. And now he's going to give us like a 6-7 minute update, and I'm not going to interrupt him at all so we don't get the echo. Dave, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling, it's always great to be with you. Last weekend, we were in Las Vegas
for our Spaced Out Radio fan party, and there were a lot of people there talking about aliens. And in fact, we went out to Area 51 and the little alien in order to try and see some of them aliens out there, but we did not find any, unfortunately. But you know what? That means we're just going to have to go back. But here's something very interesting, because I know you love your aliens, and deep down, Sterling, you probably have aliens yourself. Yeah, I'm putting money on it. You got some aliens. Well, Dr. Gary Nolan from Stanford University, he has been conducting studies over the years about people who have alien contact and the repercussions of what happens. Some people suffer some sort of brain disorder from the radiation that the aliens and the UFOs allegedly carry. Well, apparently, according to the great Dr. Gary Nolan, aliens have been on Earth for a long, long time. Yes, we are not alone, according to the Stanford doctor, and he is the university's pathology professor who has a ward named after him as well. So recently, talking at the Salt Eye Connections conference in Manhattan, New York, yes, the man called Gary Nolan came out and was asked by host Alex Klokas whether he believed or not that extraterrestrial life has visited Earth. Gary came out and said 100%. He says, quote, "I think it's an advanced form of intelligence that's using some kind of intermediaries. If it's not that they walk among us wearing a skin suit, you're going to go out and put something there that I think is an intelligence test." So he didn't want people to question his integrity. He then says, it's like South American native tribes when they first saw Spanish ships. They didn't know what they were seeing, but it was definitely out of the ordinary. He goes on to say, they're showing up and saying, who amongst you are intelligent enough to realize what it is you are looking at? Can you see what's in front of you for what it really is? Can you see the anomalous data points? Well, he has stated that he has handed and talked to the U.S. government about what the most compelling evidence that he has found under the UAP, Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, which is government-derived word for UFO. That includes the creation of the AARO program, All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, that is set up by the Department of Defense, who apparently wants to hear these things. The most recent hearing was held back in April, which was a little bit of a laugher, caused a little bit of a hornet's nest, because Sean Kirkpatrick, the head of that program, basically said, no, we don't got any aliens here. According to Nolan, that was pure bunk. He says his personal experiences with one individual who is involved in collecting original information and his own experiences with people who have worked on reverse engineering programs or down craft is highly unlikely that we are not alone. He also goes on to say that he knew people who were working on reverse engineering of a down craft as we speak. Some of these unknown craft have been captured on video performing maneuvers never seen before and defying all laws of physics. Nolan goes on to say a tiny piece of knowledge from that could revolutionize what we are doing on this planet. He says, I am always looking for the opportunity. I'm looking at the upside of this, and I'm not worried about aliens coming and raiding us or taking our women and children. That is not a concern. The concern is, how do we use their technology for our bases here on Earth? Well, this is kind of interesting because Gary Nolan himself is also an experiencer of the extraterrestrial phenomena. He said it happened when he was a child, that he does remember being abducted, and this is why when he decided as an adult to get into college and really push for a scientific degree, he definitely wanted to learn what was happening with extraterrestrial reports. Now, there are millions of people who are recording UFO sightings every year in the United States, thousands who are recording that they have had some sort of extraterrestrial contact. According to former astronaut, the late Dr. Edgar Mitchell, he actually set up a program a number of years ago before his passing called the Free Experiencers Report, where over 5,000 people took a test. 84% of them who said they had extraterrestrial contact stated they would love to have ET contact again, that they were happy that it happened. And if they would want it to happen again, the report on the secondary test was almost 90%, which means that it was less than 10% of people having the nightmarish Hollywood type of encounters that we see on the big screen that would scare the daylights out of any one of us. So the big question is, Sterling, when are you going to admit that you have extraterrestrial contact? Because this is what your audience really wants to know.
David, how do we find you during the week? What is your website? How do we get more information about David Scott, Whackjob?
I love you, man. Spacedoutradio.com, on our website, and all our social media outlets.
Thank you very much, David Scott. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. We are live across America, going up and down the 5, going on I-90 into hell known as upstate New York, and on I-4 in Florida.
What do you give them? We give them happiness, and they give us authority.
That is the greatest line ever in any television show ever. Cancer Man speaking to the alien on The X-Files, explaining how our culture works, how our government is able to sustain power.
What do you give them? We give them happiness, and they give us authority.
Oh, my God, is that the best line ever? All right, it's 19 past the hour. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Hi, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
I'm a little tired after sleeping in a tent last night in the backyard.
I thought you went out there because you were mad at me. Because I made you mow the grass yesterday. Yesterday was an utter whirlwind of a day.
Our youngest has a tent set up in the backyard. He's been begging us to sleep there, so holiday weekend and all, I thought I would give it a go.
And it's really my fault, because I thought the tent would be fun. Our swing set totally fell down. It broke. We had to take it out of there. There was nothing going on in the backyard. I found a cheap tent, threw it up, and now he's been begging every night for us to sleep in it.
I think I need a massage.
At least I put a mattress in it for you, babe. I mean, I had the forethought to put it in when I got the tent last week, because I think we're a little bit too old for, you know, the tent on the ground sleeping these days.
I think he got it out of his system, so I'm good to go. One night, I think that settles the curiosity about sleeping in the tent
for the rest of his life. And also the fact that he was so worried that he was going to wake up in the middle of the night and be out in the wilderness.
Backyard.
Yeah. Without anyone there. And sure enough, 4:30 this morning, I hear little feet run into the bedroom. And I was having a heart attack. Daddy left me.
Here's what happened. I had to get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I went in the house, and that's when he decides to wake up from a deep sleep. He thinks he's been there all night
right
by himself.
Alone. He said he got up and he heard a stick break. Someone was walking and a stick broke in the backyard. But anyway, we think that part of his entire childhood life cycle with the tent might be over for us, and we like that. We don't like camping.
Hotel rooms I like. Camping, not so much. Also this week in our continuing saga of life with 8 children.
Our oldest daughter was finally ready to get a car after the, you know, totaling of her car a few months back. And we had found one. We were just out on a quick trip yesterday, and I was like, that's the car, it's perfect, let's call her. And so we did.
So we ran out really to get a cup of coffee,
mm-hmm.
and come home with a several thousand dollar car.
At least it was only a several thousand dollar car. I have resigned myself that we're never buying another new car again ever in our entire lives. And she bought this car. It wasn't like we bought the car for her. She bought it. But it was an adventure like it always is at the used car dealership.
But still, as the dad, I end up getting all the stress of the purchase because I have to answer all the questions. I got to call the insurance company and all that. It's almost like I bought it.
Well, but you didn't. You kind of stood in the background on your phone, like texting the information in while we did all the things. And then had the audacity to say, oh, I wanted you to say you wanted it for $400 less than that, after the guy had already basically given us everything. I know he was going to give us off on the car.
Right.
we get in the car to leave, and then you go back in to try to get him to drop it some more.
I'm the worst negotiator. Yeah. None of it worked.
Right. But we got the car for the price that she and I resigned ourselves that was good enough. So there you go.
Okay, that's it. Sterling on Sunday. Have a great holiday weekend.
Wait, are you just tired of talking about this and you're cutting us off?
We're out of time. Have a good night, everyone.
What do you give them? We give them happiness. And they give us authority.
It's Memorial Day, and Memorial Day weekend. And traditionally, you and I think of that as a holiday where we remember people who were in the armed forces and gave up their lives for us. But let me suggest that if you don't have a relative, you didn't have a friend who was in the armed forces and gave up their lives, this is a time to remember greatness. In my life, there were great people who weren't in the armed forces. I have no relatives who were in the armed forces, but there were great people, people who have sacrificed a great deal, including my grandmother, my mother's mother, who was born in Germany and came to the United States of America at the age of 16. She stayed in her apartment in New Jersey for about 6 months until she lost her accent so that she could integrate fully with American culture. She wouldn't even acknowledge that she could read German once she was here. She raised three beautiful daughters, and she was a single mom. She worked as a registered nurse all of her life, and she worked there till she was 70 in a hospital, until she was 70. And all the grandkids, me and the other grandkids, all said, listen, you can retire. We'll support you. We'll pay your rent. No, I don't want anything from any of you, she would say. And she worked until she was 70. She was a great lady. Hattie Vagon is her name. And she passed away a few years ago. But she passed away with three strong, smart daughters and many loving grandchildren and an astonishing baker. But every minute of her life was devoted to doing the right thing. She was a maternity nurse, giving Americans life. Once she moved to America alone, her father paid for her to come here. Once she moved to America alone and found families to live with, found families where she could be a nanny, she supported herself every second she was here. She asked for no handouts. It would have been appalling to her. She decided to integrate her life into the lives of other Americans. Remember what I said. She wouldn't leave her apartment until she left her accent behind. That's a great American. And I salute Hattie Vagon. I salute my grandmother for her courage and her bravery, for raising a true American family and being part of our society and a builder, a block in the greatness of our culture. That's greatness to me. And I promise you that if you didn't have a relative in the armed forces, I promise you, if you think a moment, there is someone in your past who was great. And this holiday is for celebrating, saluting, and thanking the greatness of our culture. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I love being with you. This is Sterling on Sunday live.
Inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please go away.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. This is a live radio show coast to coast on giant 50,000-watt radio stations. We cover the country. Nothing else is like it. And that's why I love talking to you. You and I can stay in touch at all times, and we should. Here's my email. Ready? WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I have a fantastic, fantastic website. Walter Sterling Show. And then I would like it very much if you'd look at my Facebook, because by federal law, all talk show hosts, no matter what stations they're on, need to have a social footprint. I don't know why, but it's true. Walter Sterling on Facebook and Walter M. Sterling on Twitter. I constantly put out hysterical things on Twitter, hysterical, and nothing that'll get me fired. Isn't that a tragedy? There are actually people in this world who have lost their jobs for tweets. Were they paid to put up the tweets? No. You and I should only lose our jobs for the things that we're paid for. Right? Right. All right, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share the story of the off-duty cop whose drunken recklessness results in the death of an innocent civilian in a Manhattan bar. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Memorial Day weekend again, and my hometown becomes the center of the world. I'll explain coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardized that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story about my younger cop brother, Fredo. Now, as I've stated many times on this show, my younger brother Fredo is a different kind of cat. He spent little time on patrol before opting for an administrative position inside the precinct. My brother's claim to fame was when he and his partner raced a breathless infant to the hospital, saving her life. The heroic event sparked a daily news article with a smiling Fredo and his partner splashed across the front page. The moment my father saw that newspaper article, he couldn't wait to come and shove it in my face. Hey, schmuck, how come your brother's a cop less than a year and he's already in the newspaper? My dad knew how to push my buttons when it came to comparing me with my little younger brother. I took my NYPD career seriously. I racked up hundreds of arrests before being promoted to detective and working in the Organized Control Bureau. Fredo saw the NYPD as a job with a paycheck and had little interest in arrests or how he was perceived. I ignored my dad's attempt to pit me against my kid brother and told him to pound sand. Less than a year after that newspaper article appeared in the paper, my little brother's partner was in the news again, and this time it was for taking a life. After a night of heavy drinking in Las Tres Marias, which means the Three Marias bar, the Harlem cop got into an argument with a patron and he pulled out his gun. The drunken cop shot the customer in the arm, but the bullet came out and struck a woman in the head and killed her instantly. When the smoke cleared, patrons started calling 911, calling for the police and an ambulance. When the cavalry arrived in front of the bar, the drunken cop came outside and told them, no one called 911, there's no shots fired, don't worry about it, nothing happened. The cops leave. Well, patrons keep calling 911. This time, a supervisor shows up with more cops. They go into the bar, they find this poor woman deceased, and they place the cop under arrest. The moment I saw that article in the paper and I recognized the guy, I couldn't wait to show the article to my father. So he's looking at the paper and he goes, so, your brother didn't shoot anybody. I told him, well, maybe your son should be more careful with the company he keeps. Eventually, the careless cop was convicted of second-degree murder that carried an 8-year prison sentence, effectively ending his NYPD career. Unfazed, my younger brother Fredo continued in an inside position in the precinct as the property clerk for the next 15 years. As for the Three Marias bar, patrons began callously referring to it now as the Las Dos Marias, the Two Marias bars. For more insight into the New York City Police Department, be sure to check out my book, NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside America's Largest Police Department.
And that's the opportunity, isn't it? That on this 3-day weekend to take 5 minutes and be grateful to the people in our lives who showed us greatness. Could have been a teacher, a friend, priest, rabbi, or somebody in uniform. But throughout our lives, the touch points, the way you and I got stronger and smarter and better, was the sacrifice that another person made for you and me. Unheralded, unapplauded, or some of them massive applause and deserved. But take a few minutes to thank them. Take a few minutes to let them live in your heart. I let them live in my heart. And I think about them often, and it makes me stronger. And although there's no evidence for it, it makes me a little bit smarter. it's a pleasure to be with you in your 18-wheeler, because here I am 14 inches away from this microphone, and there you are 14 inches away from that speaker, and that's why nothing communicates better than American radio. Nothing. There's nothing that comes close. When you're watching TV, how many other things are you doing? Oh, you're on your phone, you're looking around, kids bothering you. When we're on the radio, it's just us in the cab of the 18-wheeler, waiting for the next love truck stop, getting ready to find out if any state has cheaper gas than the one you're in. Let me help you. I think the cheapest gas is in Ohio, sorry to say. The most expensive gas, Manhattan. Second most expensive gas, all of California. I think the cheapest gas is in Ohio, where I saw it for $3.10 a gallon for gasoline. Don't know the diesel price. But I should know the diesel price because I'm talking with you. I am so grateful for the 18-wheeler drivers, the great truck drivers of our country, the people who keep it moving, the people who keep it going, and who are forced to waste tens of thousands of dollars each year on worthless tolls, completely worthless tolls. There are a lot of people who talk about Memorial Day and a lot of people who feel about it, but I swear to you, nobody ever spoke of Memorial Day better than the last great president that we had, which is Ronald Reagan. And that's coming up for you in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follow her down to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
On Memorial Day, we pause to remember those members of our armed forces who have preserved our liberty and our freedom by making the supreme sacrifice. While we Americans traditionally celebrate this day with picnics and parades, and while we think of this day as the unofficial beginning of summer, we know it is also a time of somber but inspiring memories. Memories of so many courageous Americans who, while wearing our country's uniform, fought and died so that we could enjoy the blessings of this day, so that we could live in peace and freedom. Today we pay solemn tribute to our fallen countrymen. We know we can never give them as much as they gave us, but we also know that our generation and succeeding generations can, by keeping the flame of freedom burning brightly, ensure that they did not die in vain. As we observe this Memorial Day by remembering our fallen patriots, let us also remember that preserving the peace and preventing war mean keeping our armed forces as strong and ready as they are today. Let us honor the memory of those who gave their last full measure of devotion by rededicating ourselves to what they died for a strong America, for the cause of freedom.
The willingness of some to give their lives so that others might live never fails to evoke in us a sense of wonder and mystery. One gets that feeling here on this hallowed ground. I have known that same poignant feeling as I looked out across the rows of white crosses and stars of David in Europe, in the Philippines, in the military cemeteries here in our own land. Each one marks the resting place of an American hero. And in my lifetime, the heroes of World War I, the Doughboys, the GIs of World War II, or Korea, or Vietnam, they span several generations of young Americans, all different and yet all alike, like the markers above their resting places, all alike in a truly meaningful way. Winston Churchill said of those he knew in World War II, they seemed to be the only young men who could laugh and fight at the same time. A great general in that war called them our secret weapon, just the best darn kids in the world. Each died for a cause he considered more important than his own life. Well, they didn't volunteer to die. They volunteered to defend values for which men have always been willing to die if need be. The values which make up what we call civilization. Not far from here is the statue of the three servicemen, the three fighting boys of Vietnam. It too has majesty and more. Perhaps you've seen it Three rough boys walking together, looking ahead with a steady gaze. There's something wounded about them. A kind of resigned toughness, but there's an unexpected tenderness, too. At first, you don't really notice, but then you see it. The three are touching each other as if they're supporting each other, helping each other on. I know that many veterans of Vietnam will gather today, some of them perhaps by the wall, and they're still helping each other on. They were quite a group, the boys of Vietnam, boys who fought a terrible and vicious war without enough support from home. Boys who were dodging bullets while we debated the efficacy of the battle. It was often our poor who fought in that war. It was the unpampered boys of the working class who picked up the rifles and went on the march. They learned not to rely on us. They learned to rely on each other. They were special in another way. They chose to be faithful. They chose to reject the fashionable skepticism of their time. They chose to believe and answer the call of duty. And then there was this newspaper account that appeared after the ceremonies. I'd like to read it to you. Yesterday, crowds returned to the memorial. Among them was Herbie Pettit, a machinist and former Marine from New Orleans. Last night, he said, standing near the wall, I went out to dinner with some other ex-Marines. There was also a group of college students in the restaurant. We started talking to each other, and before we left, they stood up and cheered us. The whole week, Pettit said, his eyes red, it was worth it, just for that. It has been worth it. We Americans have learned to listen to each other and to trust each other again. We've learned that government at the wall, I went out to dinner with some other ex-Marines. There was also a group of college students in the restaurant. We started talking to each other, and before we left, they stood up and cheered us. The whole week, Pettit said, his eyes red, it was worth it, just for that. It has been worth it. We Americans have learned to listen to each other and to trust each other again. We've learned that government owes the people an explanation and needs their support for its actions at home and abroad. And we have learned, and I pray this time for good, the most valuable lesson of all, the preciousness of human freedom.
The debt we owe to those who have left home and family to serve this cause is beyond measure. But our greatest debt of all is to those who fell in battle. Their ranks are legion, the stories of their heroism countless. Many of them lie beneath the soil of distant lands, and many here at home. Their final bivouac may be a well-kept cemetery or an unknown, unmarked field or lane or shore. But glory guards each one well. These heroes who fought with all the faith and valor that free men can muster. Oliver Wendell Holmes expressed a fitting thought when he said, "At the grave of a hero, we end not with sorrow at the inevitable loss, but with the contagion of his courage." I join all of you who proudly share that spirit in your own service to our nation as you pay tribute to these brave Americans. May we always walk in the light of their memory, the light of liberty which shines from age to age and still illumines the way forward. God bless you, and God bless America.
Could we please have another president like that? Would it be possible to please have another president like that, who knows how to speak, who knows how to form a consensus? It is great to be with you. It is an honor to share this time with you. Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. Website waltersterlingshow.com. Coming up next week, we're going to solve the big mystery: how to keep the meat from falling into the grill. The greatest gift you and I can share is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.